Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. To celebrate this podcast reaching its 100th episode, you sent me tons of questions and I have tons of answers. Here's Ask Tilly Anything, part 3. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady I had to do an AMA with before she'd even agree to be my girlfriend, Susan Bridges.
Hello! That is 100% true.
You revealed that story on an episode not that long ago, which I had forgotten about, that you had done that to me.
I did.
Yeah.
I needed to know how you felt about things.
You do. That's a really important thing. When you're going to start dating somebody, you need to know you align on important stuff.
Yeah. And you should do it up front, because otherwise, what if you waste your time?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, you're a garbage person. Oh, I didn't know. Nope. Get that right out of the way at the front. And if they're offended, then you don't need to be with them. It's so good.
I enjoy the clapping you were doing along with that.
Anyway, this AMA is for Tilly. I'm probably going to provide color commentary.
You will have some answers as well. In any case, I wanted to say that due to this, we're the only two here this week. So before I get into it, I want to say yes, this is actually the third AMA that I've done. And there will be another one next week and the week after, because you asked me too many questions to answer in one episode. The first two were to celebrate Trans Tuesdays reaching 100 essays, and that happened before the podcast ever existed. So if you've only recently discovered Trans Tuesdays or only listened to the podcast version, those are new to you. So you can find Ask Tilly Anything Part 1 and Ask Tilly Anything Part 2 at tillystranstuesdays.com. Initially, I thought I would do another AMA to celebrate Trans Tuesdays reaching 200 essays, but that happened right in the middle of the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow deep dive, which began in episode 81 of this show, and I wasn't going to stop that to do an AMA and then pick it back up again. Trans Tuesday 200 was actually the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow part 3, episode 83, and this episode / essay and the second one next week and the third one the week after are actually Trans Tuesday 217, 218, and 219 for all of you Tilly's Trans Tuesday trivia types out there.
Wow, this was all very unnecessary information.
Hey! Rude. But enough of that. We've got so many questions to answer, so let's get to it. I'm going to answer all of these in entirely random order. Some are serious, some are thoughtful, some are goofy. It's going to be a good time. Let's go. Here's one that was emailed to me, and so that I get a break from talking, you should read the questions at least.
Oh, okay. See, we're really professional and planned this ahead of time. That's what happened. All right. I've heard you say that every trans selfie is an act of resistance. Thank you for teaching me this. It's meant a lot to me to know that just by existing, I am fighting our patriarchal systems in our society. I want to ask you if you are the originator of that saying so that I may give you full credit when I share it with others.
You will find me saying that across multiple Trans Tuesdays, especially in Photos and Reflections, episode 91 of this show, Photos 2, The Selfie Apocalypse, episode 92, and Photos 3, Tilly's Guide to Selfies, episode 93. As to if I'm the originator of it, actually, I don't know. I've been saying it for years and years, and every so often I feel compelled to say it again with one of the selfies I post, because it's absolutely true, especially now with the surge of transphobia in our government and media. Simply showing that we cannot and will not let you take our joy at being who we are is an act of resistance in a society that wants to legislate us out of existence and pretend we aren't real. See episode 95 of this podcast, Trans Trauma 2, Societal Gaslighting. I think I came up with it, but honestly, it's also likely I may have seen someone else post it or say something similar before I ever did it, and it seeped into my consciousness that way. I honestly cannot remember for sure. This is what happens when you write 217 Trans Tuesdays, I guess.
Also, if you have time, would you detail some of the best tips you know on how to be actively as well as passively fighting for our rights?
As I said in the 2024 election results, Where Do We Go From Here, in episode 90, the most important thing for every trans person to do now, in the coming years, and for always is survive. Simply existing and refusing to let them stop us is fighting for our rights. It's fighting for all of us. Always, always, always vote for the people who will protect our rights. See episode 89, Trans Politics 2, You Must Vote to Protect Us. Even when it's frustrating, even when it hurts, even if all you can do is vote for someone who's the least bad or only half as progressive as you'd like, every step away from full right fascism and bigotry is a step in the right direction. Contacting your government representatives is also really important. Even if you're in a deep red area, call them on their bullshit every time. Even if you're in a deep blue area, thank them when they do the right thing and stand up for us.
Can I comment on this?
Please do.
Because I just want to say, I've seen people say, I'm in a red area. My reps do not care.
Right.
Do it anyway.
Yep.
Because you know what? It's their effing job to listen to you. And they don't like it? Too bad. Also, I also want to add, sometimes people have said they turn off their phones. They don't answer their phones. They let the voicemail fill up. Fine. Send a letter in the mail. Send faxes. Whatever it is, just annoy them to death with your viewpoint. It matters.
It does. Well, and listen, if a lot of people stuck in a red area did that, it wouldn't make a difference. A lot of you did it. Don't think you're the only one.
And we're seeing now it doesn't actually take that many people to freak them out.
Right, because so many people don't even contact them.
Right.
Yeah. Beyond that, if you have the time and energy, and only if it is safe for you to do so, going to marches and demonstrations, trying to be sure everyone in your life knows how important trans rights are. Those help. Call out friends and family members on their bigotry and stop letting it slide. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Only do that if it is safe for you to do so. This is why we need cis people to do even more of what I just outlined, because it is safe for you to do so, and other cis people will listen to you when they won't listen to us. Check out episode 88, Trans Politics 1, Stop Tolerating Transphobia, for more on that. But mostly, for trans folks for the foreseeable future, stay safe, stay you, and stay on this side of the ground, and be as visible as the sun, if it is safe for you to do so. Next question.
What movie/TV/book do you consider to be the most underrated, and why?
If we're talking about the general population, honestly, I think I'd say the Matrix sequels, especially Reloaded and Revolutions. I think people who've read my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, likely already appreciate them as much as they deserve to be, but the general consensus outside of trans circles is almost actively derisive. And look, the Matrix was legitimately revolutionary in so many ways. It changed filmmaking. That's not something that's going to happen with every sequel, too. It's incredibly rare that that ever happens. I think you can make a case that it changed the medium just as much as the original Star Wars did. But The Matrix has a more universally identifiable story than its sequels do. It's very much about realizing you're trans, choosing to accept that and then transition. But more broadly, it's about not feeling like you are who society says you are or have to be. And everyone knows what it's like to have expectations set on you that you never asked for, and wanting to break out of those to be who you really are. So cis people can connect with it much more easily. Reloaded and Revolutions, and then much later Resurrections, are about much more specific parts of trans existence. So if you don't know what they're saying about trans people in the allegory, I think they're somewhat inscrutable to a large portion of cis folks. And that makes me kind of mad, because when cis folks declare that those movies are empirically bad, it feels like what they're saying is, I don't understand trans existence, and therefore stories about said existence are not worth telling. But then I remind myself that most of the folks saying that probably don't even realize how specifically and intentionally trans the movies are. Yet it still feels like the core of it is that they think trans stories aren't worth telling. I swear I did not mean for this to turn into an advertisement for my book, but I wrote the damn thing because I'm passionate about storytelling, writing, and trans issues, and I think our stories are more important than ever. So anyway, If you want to understand what the whole Matrix franchise is saying about trans people and maybe understand the sequels in a way you never did before, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix is the book for you. Do you have something that you feel is tremendously underrated that you really like? Book, movie, TV show?
I'm going to leave that alone. I feel like it's off topic. And I feel on the spot and I can't do that. I love so many things.
Well, so do I. Yeah.
And then what if I say something and then later I'm like, oh no, but this is more underrated, okay. I think. I mean,
it doesn't have to be the most.
This is just a lot of pressure.
Okay. Let's move on then.
Next question. When I finally come out to someone and they tell me how brave I am, why does it feel so hollow and patronizing?
I think the answer to this one is because we should not have to be brave just to be ourselves. We absolutely do have to be in this world, and that's really messed up. So it feels hollow and patronizing because they're acknowledging how difficult cis people have made it for us to come out, while seemingly doing and saying nothing about how they're going to fight to make a world where we don't have to be brave to exist. Again, that is on you, cis folks. There aren't enough trans people to change society on our own, and it's not our job to fix cis transphobes' hearts. It's yours. Maybe stop telling us we're brave and instead tell us how you're going to protect us and fight for us so we don't have to be brave just to exist. Next question.
Didn't want to ask anything. Just grateful for the work you do and how you've enabled others to help each other.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Truly. I don't know that I've enabled others to help each other, though. I mean, I hope I have, but that's not for me to say. But it means a lot to me that you said that. So thank you again. I just want to help.
What's the earliest memory that you remember that indicated you were different?
I'm guessing by different, you mean trans, or not cis, or not a boy, so that's how I'm going to answer it, though I think I'm different from most people in a lot of ways. I honestly don't know how old I was, but I was pretty little. Every time we would go to visit my grandma and great aunt, they would let me dress up in their dresses and costume jewelry and high heels, and I'd walk around saying I was a pretty girl. There were no signs. Yes, of course there were signs. Listen to, the signs were always there, way back in episode 6 of this show. Anyway, they and my mom all thought this was hilarious and that I was doing it for laughs because of that old, quote, boys and men doing anything feminine is worthy of mockery and derision, end quote, chestnut that pops up time and time again. See any of my trans rep and media reports for just how often this implicitly transphobic idea pops up. You will find them in episodes 3, 52 to 54, and 97 to 99. Anyway, this was when I was probably 3 or 4, somewhere in there, but there came a point where suddenly it wasn't funny anymore, and I was told I was too old to do that now, because that's not what boys do. And I was heartbroken. So much so that despite most of my memories being lost from dissociation due to gender dysphoria, check out episode 59 if you need more, that one is stuck through everything, the hurt of being denied the happiest thing I got to do. Do not ever say there's no such thing as trans kids. I will fling you into the sun.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Goodness, I have too many. Charlize Theron, Lupita Nyong'o, Aubrey Plaza, Hari Neff, Hailey Atwell, Katie O'Brien, Laverne Cox, Sudita Mani, Jessica Parker Kennedy, Gina Torres. Listen, I must stop because I don't have all day. Do you have a celebrity crush?
No, not really.
No?
I don't think so.
Really?
I like Charlize. Charlize is good.
You're just stealing my answers now.
Scarlett Johansson?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo, all the way. I will love the goofball every time. Do you have a favorite?
No.
Okay.
I never really watched the Turtles.
Oh, that's all right.
Not really.
Sure.
How do you get into the writing groove?
Well, all I can tell you is what works for me, but writing is kind of like transition. No two paths are exactly the same, and we all have to find what works for us. I love writing. I love writing. But even still, sometimes it's hard to face that blank page. Once I get going, I'm fine, all the way through the draft, revisions, you name it. It's that blank page that always gets me, and I'm sure, despite all evidence to the contrary, that this time will be the time I've entirely forgotten how to do it. So I force myself to set up the document, look at that blank page, and just write. Just do it. Doesn't even matter what it is, if I delete it all later, whatever. Once I start, the writer brain kicks in and off I go. The most important thing I learned long ago is that I think many quote-unquote newer writers struggle with is letting go of perfection. In fact, you have to let it suck. It's hard to just let something be bad, but it's okay and in fact necessary. Let it be bad. You can make it great in revisions. That's what they're for. But you can't fix what's not there. It's why my first drafts are always the hardest for me. Just let go. Let it all go and put some words down. It all starts there. And then just keep putting more words down without worrying about if they're good or what you want them to be. Just get them out. Do you have tips for getting into the writing groove, writer lady?
Well, I think my issue is more that I hate everything, like, because I consume a lot of media.
As do I. We consume it together.
We do. And I also read over 100 books a year.
Yes.
And so there's going to be a fair percentage of things in there that are not for me.
Sure.
That I do not like.
Right.
Or I'm saying it's written weird, or I don't like the story, or I don't like the character. Like, there's always something. But when I'm sitting down with you to talk about like an outline or something,
yeah,
I worry that we won't be able to come up with something that we both really love because I'm so picky.
But we always do.
And yet we always do.
But so then how do you get into the groove? How do you get over that? If you're worried that it's not going to live up to what you want it to be, do you have any advice for these folks?
Talk it out.
Well, they don't all have writing partners.
Talk to the duck.
Talk to the duck helps so much. If you're not familiar with that, it doesn't have to actually be a rubber duck, but you explain your problem that you're having with whatever you're working on to the duck, and in talking about
it out loud.
So you have to say it out loud, because voicing these things out loud uses a different part of your brain than typing and writing them does. And almost always, like 99% of the time, just doing that will help you get unstuck and figure out what your issue was.
Yeah, because a lot of times getting stuck just means there's something wrong with your story.
Yeah.
Or it's not the right story.
Yeah. And find, if you don't have a writing partner, find another writer or just a friend to explain the problem to. It's the same thing. They're your duck. There's so many times I've gone to you and said, I'm stuck on this part of this outline. And she says, what's wrong? And I explain the problem. And I'm like, oh, that's how you fix it. It's like the solution presents itself. It's wild, but it really works.
It does. Who is your favorite Trek character?
This is the first of several Star Trek questions that were asked. And let me just say, I was delighted to see every one of them. I have a few. Jean-Luc Picard, because I love everything about him, and also because he's my space dad. I learned a whole lot about how to be the person I am from him. Jadzia Dax, because to a trans girl who didn't know she was trans, I saw so much of myself in her for reasons I didn't understand. I learned a whole lot about the person I was and wanted to be from her. In the modern Trek era, I glommed onto Michael Burnham immediately, and over the course of Discovery, she absolutely entered the upper echelon of my Trek faves. I also gravitate a lot toward D'Vana Tendi because I see so much of myself in her. I can't imagine how I'll feel once a trans woman character finally shows up in Trek. There have been multiple non-binary characters and a trans man, but still no trans women. Or maybe I can imagine. Who's your favorite Trek character?
Picard.
Okay, after Picard, do you have another favorite across all the stuff that we watch? Because we've seen it all so many times.
Well, we were discussing some Trek things recently, and I realized how very much I loved Wayoon.
Oh, yes.
But, like, part of that is just, like, every character Jeffrey Combs plays just eats up the scenery. Like,
he's amazing.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, but main cast.
Main cast?
Main cast across any of the shows. Besides Picard. Who do you love?
Lagzana Troi.
She's not main cast.
She's close enough.
She's also recurring. I also love her, but she's recurring.
Fantastic.
She's not main cast. She is. Pick a main cast member.
Why?
Besides Picard, because I want to know. And so do these listeners, I bet.
I guess Data.
Okay, fair.
And I love Geordi, but they treated him poorly.
There were issues.
There were issues.
With many things, we're not going to get into those.
See, this is bad because we could just sit here and talk about this for literally an hour.
Next question.
Next question. How many names did you go through before choosing the one you chose? Oh, well, there's like four. They're kind of all the same. How do you decide to choose your name? Please talk about the importance of choosing our own names, including surname versus cis feelings about the family name and reputation. You probably know who this is, lol. Have you done an app about choosing names? What brought you to Tilly?
Wow. Okay. Popular question. Little known fact, but one of the earliest Trans Tuesdays was on names and pronouns. You can read it for the full story of how I came to Tilly at tillystranstuesdays.com. I've struggled with revising that one and bringing it back and to the podcast for the first time because it includes mention and discussion of my dead name. As this was very early on in Trans Tuesdays, it was number 6. Almost everyone who was reading at the time were people who knew me pre-transition. Even though almost nobody was reading them at the time, that was the main audience at the start. I didn't know if other trans folks or anyone who didn't know me pre-transition would ever find or read them. So I approached it from the angle of, this is who you knew me as, but this is who I really am. And that's demonstrably not true for the audience for Trans Tuesdays today, as they've grown so much bigger than I had ever anticipated. But the name Tilly is inextricably tied to my dead name, in that it's hard to fully explain it without mentioning and discussing my dead name, and I just do not have any desire to do that. So go read that original essay. The gist of it is that I liked some things about my dead name, even though I hated the name itself. I liked part of how it looked, I liked it ending with an E sound, and that led me to where I ended up. I briefly considered Victoria, but it just didn't feel like me at all, Vicky even less so. But then I thought of Tori as a diminutive for it, and I kind of dug that, but it wasn't quite right. So it went from Tori being mashed up with a few things I liked from my dead name, and Tilly was the result. And once I hit on it, I knew that was it. I tested it out in my head for a while, and every time it felt right. I had it picked and knew it was my real name years before coming out publicly and beginning my medical and social transition. I've said many times I knew as far back as 2015 that I was trans, but couldn't do anything about it until a set time in 2020. Although, I have recently discovered evidence I had forgotten that now makes me think it was even earlier, maybe 2014 or 2013. Anyway, go read that essay if you want more, but caution, contains dead name. I don't care if people know what my dead name was, I came out in such a public way because I was already fairly well known in the podcasting community, and my dead name and dead voice are in the credits of hundreds of podcast episodes. There's no way I could change them all, so it's not like I could hide it even if I wanted to. I just don't like thinking about the time I was associated with that name. And there's a great power in choosing your own name. If you don't feel yours fits, pick one that does. First, middle, last, whatever. That goes for cis people too. You get one life, and it's yours, and nothing is more you than your name. It should be what best speaks to you.
What's your favorite webcomic?
I sadly never really got into webcomics for a whole list of boring reasons about my available time and how much more of it I did not want to spend at my computer when the webcomic boom happened, and you couldn't yet read them on smartphones, as there were no smartphones. I very much enjoy poorly drawn lines, though.
What are your voice training tips? How to get over the cringe when starting out?
I covered all my specific tips in Trans Voices 1, Gendering, Trans Voices 2, Hearing the True You, and Trans Voices 3, Interview with my speech-language pathologist, Jane Yee, who also has some tips. Those were episodes 45 to 47. One of the hardest parts for me for a long time was the cringe of having to hear my old voice over and over again, not just when speaking it, but even worse, when recorded and played back. Recording yourself practicing and listening to it played back is the best way to hear what techniques you need more practice with and which ones you're doing well, and that it's so hard to do when your voice gives you dysphoria like mine did. What I had to do was remind myself every time that I was doing this for me. Spoiler, that's also what kept me practicing consistently every single day for 3 years. It feels like a chore, it's painful to listen to it, it makes you feel awful, but we're doing it to make ourselves feel better. I cannot tell you the joy and gender euphoria that I get from hearing myself now because it sounds like me. And if you need more on gender euphoria, there's an essay at tillystranstuesdays.com, but it will definitely get a revision and a podcast episode eventually. But I could never have gotten to that point if I didn't put in all the work and push through how bad hearing my old voice made me feel. So just remind yourself that you're doing it so that you won't sound so cringe to your own ears in the future. We're dealing with it more now so that we can hopefully reach a point where we never have to deal with it again.
I remember all those days of you going into the bedroom, going, brr, I have to do my voice exercises.
Shut the door.
That is accurate.
But you did it.
But I did it.
You were mad about it all the time.
I did it. I didn't have the time, but I had to make the time, and it was really hard, and it was, yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of grumbling.
Yep. It's okay to grumble.
Yes.
Just grumble and then do it.
Grumble and then do it. All right. Next question. I'm not giving up, But how do I find the will, the wherewithal, the whatever it is I need to get through the next 2 years or four or however long this goes on when every day is so exhausting, demoralizing, and terrifying?
Damn, I wish I had an easy answer for you. Although maybe I do. Because what I was going to say is that you're not alone. I feel that way and ask myself that too. I think all of us do. And that's where the quote-unquote easy answer is. You get the will, the wherewithal, the whatever it is you need to get through from community. Absolutely none of us, myself included, are going to get through this alone. We need each other for support and help. I find so often that in helping others with their struggles, I help myself in the process, and I think that's almost universally true. Which I think also reiterates what I said in the 2024 election, Where Do We Go From Here?, back in episode 90. Because together is the only way any of us are going to get through this. And I don't just mean trans folks. I mean people from every marginalized community. Trans intersectionality is vital, babes. Check out episode 10 to learn why. And if you don't have any community, come on over to my Discord, because there's a whole thriving community there who'd be so glad to have you. The link is at the bottom of every page of TillysTransTuesdays.com. And now we have an audio question.
Oh. Hello, Tilly. Hello, Susan. Jen Wallace here. Congratulations on your first 100 episodes. You know, when you had me on, you asked me 4 questions, but I'll just go ahead and ask one. So what's been the absolute best thing about your first 100 episodes? All right. Love you. Bye.
For me, I think there's a couple things. I love all the folks we've been able to bring on and introduce to all their listeners and show the world how incredibly diverse and different and amazing and human we all are. And I love, love, love being able to do that. And that's something the podcast gets to do that the text version of my essays don't. So I'm very grateful for that. But if 100 podcast episodes and 217 essays have shown me anything, it's that I love doing this. And it means so much to me that it's meant so much to all of you. Your responses have always been the best part, and that's not changed. Knowing something helped you or helped someone you know, it's just everything. And I'll keep doing it for as long as I have something to say and am able to. What about you?
I think it's been super great to talk to so many other people. And it kind of relates a little bit to what you just said previously, is that the community is so much stronger than the individual.
Yeah.
And when you really think about it, the idea of doing everything yourself, that you should be able to do everything yourself, is really rooted in patriarchy and cis heteronormative things, and they're toxic things.
Toxic
and
bad stuff.
They're wrong.
Yep.
They're just wrong. Humans need each other. We all need each other. We all can learn from each other. We all can listen to each other and do things better together than we could do alone.
Perfect. Beautiful. Listen to my wife. She's so smart. But yes, I will keep doing this for as long as I have something to say and am able to. And with the way Trans People written by cis writers and media is going, I will not be allowed to die and will be doing my year 2874 Trans Rep and Media Report from my cryo tube at the end of the universe, where I think my thoughts into a computer and they're beamed right into your brains one cryo tube over. Like, oh my God, can you believe how cold it is in here? Unacceptable. Come back next week as I beam more AMA answers direct into your think meets. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at BirdGuestBroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.